Thank you, Brother and Sister Merrill. Thank you, Mrs. Heath and Vivian, for playing for us this morning. What a great song. Amen. From the wonder of heaven to the stable in Bethlehem. That's what our Savior did for us. I'm so excited that December is finally here. I love Christmas. I do. Mrs. Jones, where's Mrs. Jones? She's not here. She's hiding. I want Mrs. Jones to know I love Christmas. Amen. Mrs. Jones accused me of not loving Christmas because I didn't start singing Christmas carols, I don't know, around October. Amen. I'm a purist, bless God. We don't set up anything until the day after Thanksgiving. Amen. That's when Christmas starts. And I just split the church right down the middle. Amen. Some of you put up your ornaments in August. God bless you. Amen. But I do. I love Christmas music. You come into our house. Many of you were there last night. I promise you, from now until January, we will have Christmas candles burning. It smells like a pine forest in our house. We have Christmas music playing. I love the old-fashioned Christmas movies. I love It's a Wonderful Life. I love White Christmas. I love The Grinch. Amen. I don't like any of that new stuff, but I like the old stuff. Amen. I love Christmas. I hope you do too. When I think of Christmas, of course, I go back to childhood and those days of wonder. Amen. Those days of, how many of you remember trying to stay awake? Amen. 3 a.m. and your parents are saying, "Tonight, if this kid doesn't go to bed, I'm going to clunk him over the head." Amen. I remember those days. I remember those days of going to bed on Christmas Eve and seeing a bare Christmas tree and waking up in the morning and seeing a full presented Christmas tree and thought, how did that happen? Amen. Just the days of wonder and innocence. I love Christmas. But more than anything else, ladies and gentlemen, I love Christmas because Christmas is about Christ. You see, years ago, when I was 23 years old, I had a personal experience with Jesus Christ. I didn't see visions. I didn't hear angels. No heightened experience. I'll tell you what happened. I was in a pew just like you are today. And the preacher preached that Jesus Christ was the Savior of all the world. And he preached that all men were sinners. And all men and women that die without Jesus Christ go to an awful place called the lake of fire. But then Brother Sammons began to give the good news that Jesus Christ loved you and he provided a way of salvation. And if you'd only trust, if you'd believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd be saved. And I did. And he saved me. And you know, ever since then, Brother Lawley, Christmas has been even more special. It hadn't been about the presents. It hasn't been about the gifts. It's been about the gift. Amen. I trust as we get into these messages that Christ and the spirit of Christmas, the true spirit of Christmas, and the true spirit of Christmas is found in one verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I love the fact that one day, whether a person publicly professes Jesus Christ or not, I love the fact that one day this entire world recognizes the birth of our Savior. December 25th, Brother Merrill said it. We don't know if that's the day Jesus was born. And can I tell you this? Honestly, I don't care. I know He was born. I know He was born of a virgin. And He came into this world. I hope that these messages during the Advent season will help us each to dwell on the wonderful love, grace, patience, and mercy of our God. Prior to our text in Luke chapter 1 and also in Matthew chapter 1 is a period of profound silence between God and man. For the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi, was penned roughly 400 years before Matthew and Luke. So literally we have that period of time that most theologians call the silent years, where God did not speak His word to have it penned for 400 years. It was a time of darkness. Politically, the Jewish people, Israel, were under the rule of Medo-Persia at the time that Malachi was penned. That second beast, that devouring bear of Daniel's image. And then, of course, we know that Medo-Persia was taken over by Alexander and the Grecian Empire came into the scene. And then, of course, after that, the Grecian Empire fell and broke apart and the Roman Empire came onto the scene. And here, during this time of Christ's birth, we have Rome at its height. It had conquered the known world, and as the old slogan goes, all roads lead to Rome. There was a reason for that. Roman roads went throughout the known world. In this time of spiritual silence and political division and darkness, all of a sudden, the spiritual silence is broken. And there is angelic activity such as the world had never seen or heard. Ladies and gentlemen, as we enter into this chapter, Bible prophecies that had been given by the prophets of old centuries ago were about to come true. They were about to come true. The passage that we're examining today, we talked about it, is known in many theological circles as the Annunciation. We're told that the angel Gabriel here was sent by God to deliver a message to a virgin named Mary in the city of Nazareth. Gabriel is one of only three angels in the Bible mentioned by name. There's, of course, we know Michael. Michael is the only one in the Bible, according to Jude, verse 9, who is called an archangel. Michael was in charge of the armies of heaven. Michael had a great ministry of withstanding evil and leads the righteous angels into war. Of course, the other angel we know of is the angel of Lucifer. His name is mentioned in Isaiah chapter 14. He fell, took one third of heaven's angels with him, and became what we know of today as Satan or the devil. But then the third angel mentioned is this angel Gabriel. Gabriel is always connected with announcements from God. He's always announcing. I believe, can't prove it scripturally, but I believe it'll be Gabriel that announces the rapture. The angel of God, amen, that comes and announces. But here he comes to a virgin named Mary. A virgin. Amen? A virgin. One that had never been intimate with a man before. And he tells her she's going to give birth. Mary's an incredible lady in the Bible. I think perhaps because of the exaltation of the Roman Church of Mary to a deity status that we diminish her, but we shouldn't. She's a wonderful woman in the Bible. A wonderful character. She's a quiet learner. Remember, after Jesus was born and all these things had come to pass in Luke chapter 2, verse 19, the Bible says, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." She was a quiet learner. Can you imagine what it must have been like as the angel Gabriel came and he came and gave you a message from God? Can you imagine the privilege of sitting and listening as an angel of God teaches you? You've heard of touched by an angel, but this is taught by an angel. I wonder the amazement and wonder that must have filled this young Jewish maiden's soul as she sat and listened to what the angel told her. We're going to look today at several things of some lessons that Mary learned. We've entitled our message today, What Mary Learned. The first thing Mary learned is she learned about God's unending plans. God's unending plans. Look at verse number 33, if you would, this morning. It says about Jesus, about this son that was to be born, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob for how long, church? Forever, and of his kingdom there shall be, what else, church? No end. She learned as she sat at the feet of this angel and he taught her of God's unending plans. Could we consider, first of all, about Mary, the schedule? Mary was a young Jewish maiden who no doubt had plans of her own. Amen? Listen, it's okay to have plans of your own. Amen? It's okay. Here she was. She was no doubt looking forward to her wedding day, Mrs. Phelps. She was looking forward to that day that she was going to marry Joseph. She was looking forward to that day that she had dreamed about since she was a little girl. Looking forward to that day when her husband would whisk her away to the home that he'd prepared for her. I no doubt she was looking forward to making him that first meal. How many of you men remember that first meal your wife made for you? Amen. By the way, if you don't remember it, it was probably good. If you do remember it, maybe there's an issue. I don't know. Amen. She was no doubt looking forward to being a blessing to and to pleasing her husband. And listen, may I just say, let's get back to that, to pleasing one another in our marriages. Amen. Submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God, preferring other above ourselves. She was no doubt looking forward to tending to her new home. Maybe she was looking forward to Miss Perrine to having that first garden. Amen. And getting some tomatoes or some peppers. Maybe looking forward to snuggling up with her husband in front of a fire or having children or being a mother. Listen, God's schedule and our schedule, though, do not always coincide, do they? She had a schedule. But not only do we consider the schedule, we consider the surprises of our text. Look at verses 28 through 30 with me. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Down to verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. The first thing that surprised her was the salutation. She was surprised to find out that she was highly favored. She was surprised to find out that the Lord was with her. She was surprised to find out that she was blessed among women. And she was surprised to find out that she had found favor with God. Can we say that there are those that think that they are God's gift to humanity? It would be no surprise to them that God thought so highly. But to this humble Jewish girl, it came as a surprise. I think that when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, Brother Merrill, that it will shock us who God exalts. You listen to me. If you do a work at this church, if you sweep the carpet, I think of Sweet Verley. Sweet Verley makes cookies every week for the pastor's staff. But we get a gift of cookies every week from Verley. And our family loves it, Verley, and so do the Loggins. Amen. Listen, that's a work for God. If you clean a window, I think of the folks that decorated for hours in here, Mrs. Jenkins and Katie Becker and Mrs. Miller and Brother Jack, and how wonderful it is. It's going to surprise us. We think that it'll be just the preachers to the front of the line. Oh no, we're going to the back. The people that really get exalted are those that are humble. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. It came as a shock to her. She was caught by surprise that she was thought of so highly of the Lord. Not only the surprise of the salutation, but the surprise of the conception. Look at verse number 31. It says, And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. She was surprised to hear that she would conceive before her marriage was consummated. We'll talk about that a little bit more. She was a virgin, ladies and gentlemen. What that means is when she says, I've not known man, that means she was pure. Pure before God. She had never been intimate with a man before. And so it came as a great shock to her that the angel said, You're going to conceive. And not only a shock of that, but a shock to say it would be a boy. And not only that, the angel gave his name. How'd you like to have that? I asked Pastor John the other day. I said, Pastor John, have you come up with a name for that little girl yet? And he said, nope. He said, we wait till she's born. I hold her. I look at her. And then God will give me a name. I said, what if he doesn't? He says, I don't know. Hadn't happened yet. Amen. The conception came as a surprise to her. The salutation came as a surprise to her. The dominion came as a surprise to her. Look at verse 32. He shall be great, speaking of Jesus, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. You see, her son was to be the Son of God, the Son of the Highest, and he was to rule over the earth forever and ever. That was no doubt a surprise to Mary. You notice the surprise of God's unending plans. You notice the schedule. But thirdly, could we consider the substance of God's unending plans? God's plans are eternal. Whatsoever God doeth, Ecclesiastes 3:14 says, it shall be forever. Listen, may we live our lives. May we serve. May we give with eternity in view. I was ever so reminded of that Friday night in our missionary committee meeting. We had a missionary committee meeting, and we'll talk about it in our special business meeting on Wednesday night. I did not have the privilege of ever meeting or knowing Theron and Eldora Tuttle. But can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that those folks lived with eternity in view. We are planning to allocate some of their estate to missionaries because they lived with eternity in view. Here they are, they're already gone to heaven, and their money is still helping the work of God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's living with eternity in view. Are you serving? Are you helping others? Are you giving to the work of God? Are you trying to influence people for Christ? If you are, you're living with eternity in view. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Mary learned. What did Mary learn? She learned about God's unending plans. Number two, and I like this. She learned about God's unfailing promises. Not only God's unending plans, but she learned about God's unfailing promises. Verse 32 and 33 again, please. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. I imagine every Saturday since Mary was a little girl, she went to synagogue. And she heard the Word of God read and proclaimed. And she had no doubt heard that Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 had prophesied, Brother Becker, of a virgin being born. Behold, I give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And God, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God with us. I imagine as she gone to synagogue, she had heard that there would be, the Son of God would be born in a place called Bethlehem. Micah 5:2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me he that has been a ruler of Israel, whose goings have been forth for everlasting. The everlasting King was to be born in that little city of Bethlehem. She had heard that he was to be an heir of David. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. She had heard all that. She had heard about the prophecies of God, the promises that God had given to His people of a deliverer. But it hadn't happened just yet. And now she's sitting at the feet of an angel. And the angel says unto her, it's going to be you. You're going to bring forth the very Son of God who's going to fulfill every one of those promises. God's going to use you. God's unfailing promises. I imagine she must have thought, but those promises have been given thousands of years ago and they haven't been fulfilled. Gabriel assures her that God's promises are unfailing. If God promised it, He will do it. And all God's people said. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Further down in verse 19, it says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Speaking of the Word of God, Peter here relating his account on the Mount of Transfiguration where him and James and John saw Jesus in all His glory lifted up. He said, that was wonderful. We didn't follow cunningly devised veils. We didn't make it up. We saw it with our own eyes, but the promises of God are better. The promises of God are better. He said, I'd rather have the Word of God than to see a vision of God. And I say to that, amen, amen, and amen. God's unfailing promises. Ladies and gentlemen, the promises of God in this book are just as unfailing as when Gabriel told Mary about them. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the promise of salvation in this book. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When God says shall, He doesn't mean maybe. God says shall, He means shall. Shall be saved. We have the promise of eternal life in this book. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. John 10:28-29. We have the promise of the presence of God in this book. He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5. You know what else we have? We have a promise of a home in heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You know, Jesus came from the ivory palaces. One day we're going to the ivory palaces, folks. It's all in here. God's unfailing promises. Can I ask you a question? How much time did you spend reading about God's unfailing promises this week? Or, listen, I know we're into the busyness of the season and I'm not here to beat you down. Listen, if we really believe that nothing in this book can fail, then when you know what? When we have trouble, you know where we need to go? Right here. We need to go to this book. Because God's promises never fail. And all God's people said, we have God's unending plans. We have God's unfailing promises. I like this. Thirdly, we have God's unlimited power. God's unlimited power. Look at it if you would. Verse 37, my life verse. God gave me this verse not long after I got saved. I began to look at my life and think, and there were things that I thought, That can never happen in my life. God gave me this verse. It's been my life verse ever since. It's inscribed on the outside of my Bible, Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. I want you to notice, if you could, about Mary and God's unlimited power. Notice the confusion, if you would. Mary was no doubt confused by this wonderful news from Gabriel. Just imagine how you would have felt if you were given this news. You're going to have a baby. You've never known man, and your baby's going to be the Son of God. I'm telling you what, there are times when you read the Bible, try to put yourself in that person's shoes and imagine how you would have felt. I'm sure she was confused. Not only the confusion, but look, if you would, at the question in verse 34. Obviously, there's no doubt confusion because she asks a question. How shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? Mary did not understand how she could conceive a child outside of natural means, so she asked a question. She asked, hey, how can this be? I've never known man. How can it possibly be that I am going to bring forth the Son of God? Well, the angel gives the explanation, doesn't he? Not only the confusion in the question, but the explanation is in verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Mary's question is answered with an explanation. You're not going to give birth naturally. You're going to give birth supernaturally. Amen? You're going to be the only one in all of history that has a baby without a man involved. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you and overshadow you. And you're going to conceive of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, that is such an important, essential doctrine in Christianity. We have a sin nature. We get our sin nature from our Father, from going all the way back to Adam. And Jesus Christ is the only one ever born without a sin nature. For He had no earthly father. His Father was the Heavenly Father. Amen. God's unlimited power. A virgin was going to bring forth the Son of God. Notice, if you would, not only the confusion, the question, the explanation. Also, the angel speaks of a demonstration of God's unlimited power. In verse 36, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Listen again, I've said this many times. God doesn't put adjectives and adverbs in the Bible just to fill space. If He said Elizabeth was old, she was old. She was too old to be having a baby. But God has unlimited power. Amen? Remember the story of Sarah. I love that story. 90 years old. Listen, I don't know if we have any 90-year-olds today, but I'll tell you this. Your childbearing years are behind you if you're 90. But when God said, you're going to have a baby, Sarah did exactly what Brother Merrill just did. She laughed. No way. That can't happen. You listen to me. Anything can happen with God. God has unlimited power. The demonstration. And I want you to notice verse 37, the declaration. Gabriel declares that with God there are no impossibilities. Ladies and gentlemen, let that sink in. Hey, you've got a loved one that's not saved. You know what? For with God, nothing's impossible. Can I tell you something? Take it from somebody who knows. My entire ministry until December 1st, 2009. I had a lost dad. My entire ministry. Every time I had gotten saved, every time I witnessed to him, and it would just, boom, slam door, so to speak, spiritually speaking. Slam door. Nope, don't want to talk about it. 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 Listen, So many times, I wish I could tell you, boy, I prayed through Brother Fidel. Boy, I was just so fervent. I wasn't. I was weak just like everybody else. And I thought, I wonder if my dad will ever get saved. Lord, I know you want to save him. For it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. But I wonder if he'll ever break. Well, on the last day of his life, he trusted Christ as a Savior. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. You've got that loved one that just seems so cold and so hard. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. God has unlimited power. His power is unlimited. How about that sick one? That sick one you have. By the way, it's not always God's will to heal. Sometimes when a person dies, by the way, every time when a Christian dies, God does complete healing. Amen? No more sickness, no pain. But you listen to me. You got somebody with a tumor. You got somebody with a cancer. You listen to me. God has unlimited power. I don't. Neither does Benny Hinn. Amen? Or any of those other charlatans that quote-unquote healers. By the way, if they're healers, send them to the Children's Cancer Ward and let them strut their stuff. Amen. No, they don't have unlimited power, but God does. God has unlimited power. He can reclaim that backslidden child, parent. That child that's gone astray. That doesn't care for the things of God anymore. He can do anything. Listen, it's time we took God out of the bottle that we put Him in. It's time we stop limiting Him to the things that we can do. You listen to me. God can do anything, anytime He wants to. His power is unlimited. God has unlimited power. We can see what Mary learned in the gospel. We can see God's unending plans in the cross of Christ, can't we? The Bible says in Revelation 13:8 that Jesus was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Listen, before there ever was a human race in the mind of God, Jesus had already gone to the cross, been crucified for the sins of mankind. We see God's unfailing promises in the resurrection. For Jesus was the one who said to His disciples, speaking of His own death in Luke 18:33, "And they shall scourge Him and put Him to death, and the third day He shall rise again." And He fulfilled those promises of the resurrection. And we can see God's unlimited power in the new birth. Jesus came to a man named Nicodemus and He said, "Ye must be born again." By the way, when Jesus says "must," He doesn't mean it'd be nice if you got born again. He doesn't mean it would help your social standing if you got born again. It doesn't mean they'd let you join the church if you got born again. It means if you want to get to heaven, ye must be born again. And Nicodemus asked a question just like we all probably would have. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter in a second time to his mother's womb? And of course, we know Jesus wasn't talking about that physical birth like He was when He said, man is born of water and of the Spirit. Man is born of water. That first time when mama's water breaks, you know a baby's about to be born. Born of the Spirit. What are you trying to say? Listen, the hardest thing God ever did was save a soul. But His power is unlimited. Here we are, we're away from God, we're spiritually dead, and He regenerates us. That's God's unlimited power. Amen? That's God's unlimited power, that we hear the gospel, we hear that Jesus loves us, we hear that we're sinners, we hear that He died for us, and we receive it, and He saves us. That's God's unlimited power. Oh, praise His name this morning. Mary learned about God's unending plans. She learned about God's unfailing promises. And she learned about God's unlimited power. May we live with God's unending plans in view. As we live our lives, as we serve in our church, as we give to the work of God, may we have eternity in view. May we rest and read and live God's unfailing promises. Listen, like we really believe these promises can't fail. Because they can't. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be ever. It's impossible for God to lie, Titus 1:2 says. So if He said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And may we realize in our own lives that God has unlimited power. God has unlimited power. Listen, let Him out of the bottle. Stop limiting Him. Stop saying, well, this situation's too big for God. You listen to me. No situation's too big for God. God has unlimited power. Let's bow our heads.